ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्याप्ते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Navaratri, that's why Durga Soktam, all of you have to memorize and chant it. It's good to do Durga Soktam every day, 9 days. Whatever you have intense prayers, all your prayers will be fulfilled. Really. Have any prayers and then do Sankalpam and chant this Durga Soktam every day, morning and evening, 9 days, you see all your prayers are fulfilled or not. Anyways, good. At least this Navaratri, you know Durga Sotam thoroughly. You can chant it correctly. Okay. Om Shanno Mitra Sham Varuna Shanno Bhavat Praryama Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi Shanno Vishnu Rukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami Ritam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Navato Tat Vaktaram Avato Avato Mam Avato Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Asannevasa Bhavati Asannevasa Bhavati Asad Brahmeti Vedachet
Asad Brahmeti
Asti Brahmeti Chedveda
Asti Brahmeti Chedveda
Santamenam Tato Viduriti
Santamenam Tato Viduriti
Tassisha Eva Sharira Atma
Tassisha Eva Sharira Atma
Yav Purvasya
Yav Purvasya.
Brahmanandavalli begins with the statement Brahmavit Param Apnoti. One who knows Brahman attains the absolute end called Mokshaha. And thereafter there is a Rig Mantra which briefly explains that statement, which is called, which is a Brahmana Vakyam. Brahmana Vakyam is a prose sentence and which is followed by a mantra, Rig Mantra, and which explains briefly the meaning of that sentence, Brahmavit Param Apnoti. That means it gives a brief explanation of what Brahman is. Satyam Jnanam Anantam is Brahman, and that Brahman one is available for recognition in one's own mind. And one who knows that Brahman becomes the accomplisher of all his, has the fulfillment of all his desires. One who knows Brahman becomes the one who has fulfilled all his wishes and desires. This is the simple, brief meaning of that Rig Mantra, following that Brahmana Vakyam, Brahmavit Param Apnoti. And thereafter, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. What is Brahman? That is briefly explained. What is that Brahman? What is briefly explained becomes elaborately explained through the Karanakarya Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya. And as Upanishad presents a Srishti Prakriya wherein Brahman is presented as the, Brahman is said to be the cause of the Jagat. So Brahma, that tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutaha. From there onwards, annadvai purushaha. From that, till that mantra, that is a srishti prakriya, when Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam, and the whole Jagat is said to have come into existence from that Brahman, and thereby it's understood Brahman is the Jagat Karanam, means Brahman is nothing but pure existence. Existence of the universe is Brahman. What is Brahman? What is the answer you get? Brahman is nothing but the existence of the universe. Brahman is very much there as the existence of the prapancha. Because prapanchaha is the karyam, the effect, and Brahman is the karanam. How does Brahman is the karanam? The Jagat has come into existence from Brahman. Therefore, Jagat is karyam and Brahman is karanam. If Brahman is the Jagat karanam, Brahman is very much there as the existence of the universe. Brahman is the existence of the universe. This is the answer you get. What is Brahman? Brahman is the existence of the universe, wherein the whole Jagat exists. The whole Jagat is nothing but Brahman alone, because Brahman alone is manifest as this universe. Brahman is the existence of this universe. But what is that existence? What is that Brahman? How to know what that, how to know what existence is? What is that pure existence? Okay, without the Jagat, can we understand what existence is? If Brahman is the existence of the universe, what is that Brahman? Existence of the universe. What is existence? Existence of the universe. But without the universe, can we understand what existence means? That existence is available for recognition without the Jagat. What a pure existence available for recognition only in one's own mind as pure consciousness, and that is made very clear by later on by another prakriya. What is prakriya? Panchakosha prakriya. Do you remember that? I'm coming back, I'm just repeating quickly. So panchakosha prakriya, and we have analyzed, we have seen slowly all the panchakoshas. We analyzed each kosha separately. And we also understood that each kosha, there's no such a thing called, there's no kosha. Actually, the each layer of personality, the individual personality has no independent existence outside of its cause, the totality. The cause means, it is not actually the cause. The ocean does not create the wave, but the wave cannot exist independent of the ocean. Therefore, we say, ocean is as good as the cause and wave is as good as the effect. Similarly, the totality becomes the support for the individual. Understand? Therefore, anything individual has support of the total. Therefore, each layer of personality, annamayaha, pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha, even anandamayaha. Also what now? There is a samashti, which is support of the vyashti. And samashti and vyashti, the individual layer of personality, is non-separate from the total layer of personality, and then the totality. So the individual and the total are essentially, at every level, is one and the same. Individual and the total, vyashtihi tatha samashtihi cha, at every layer of personality, essentially one and the same. And then when we analyze this, and each layer of personality becomes what? Resolvable in the other layer of personality. Annamaya becomes the container and pranamaya becomes the content. Then the container becomes resolved in the content. Like how ocean, the container, becomes the resolvable in the content, the water. Similarly, annamaya is resolvable in the what? The pranamaya. Pranamaya becomes resolvable in, is resolved in the manomaya. Manomaya is resolvable in vijnanamaya. Vijnanamaya is resolvable in anandamayaha. That means anything which is resolvable cognitively is as good as non-existent. Remember all these things? Therefore, all of them are Do you understand? All of them are mithya. When you say resolvable, means what? It has no independent existence. Anything which does not have independent existence, because anything which is the karyam, you have to remember this is the step, these are the steps. What is annamayaha koshaha? It's a karyam. Why it is a karyam? It is a product. Why it is a product? Because it has no independent existence. That means it has a karanam, support for it. Support is the samashti, annam brahma. Once you say it is a karyam, it has no independent, it is a karyam means just the namarupa. Namarupa means it is a mithya. Mithya means it has no independent existence. It has no independent existence means what? It is as good as non-existent. That means it is resolvable, isn't it? It can be resolved. So, karyatvatu namarupatvam. Namarupatvatu mithyatvam. Mithyatvatu mithyatvat, because mithya does no independent existence. Mithyatvat pravilapanam, it as good as non-existent. Pravilapana yogya means it is resolvable. Okay, so namarupatta means karyatvat. Anityatvam also you can say karyatvat. It's a karyam. When you say karyam, anything which is a karyam is what? It's a namarupa. Namarupa means what? It's a mithya. Mithya means what? No independent existence. No independent existence means what? It has borrowed existence, means it is pravilapana yogyam. It can be resolved in its cause. It is as good as non-existent. Therefore, you resolve every layer of personality in its what? In its own totality support, and the total gross matter becomes resolvable where? The gross, there is no such thing called a total gross matter existing independent of, outside of, the subtle matter. Okay, so the sthulam has been resolved in sukshma prana. Samashti sthulam is resolvable in samashti prana. Samashti prana is resolvable in samashti manomaya. Samashti manomaya is resolvable in samashti vijnanamaya. Samashti vijnanamaya has no existence outside of the Anandamaya, and Anandamaya has been resolved in Atma the Anandaha. What is the ultimate content? Now everything is a container, isn't it? All the containers are resolvable, can be resolved. And what is the ultimate content which cannot be resolved anywhere, but in which everything else becomes resolved? Anandaha, Ananda Atma. Anandaha is the ultimate content, and that Anandaha is what? Nothing but Atma. What is Atma? Atma nothing but Chaitanyam, the consciousness. So Anandaha, fullness, happiness and consciousness and existence are not different. They are one and the same. That Atma is Brahma, the Chaitanya existence. Okay, Anandaha is Atma, happiness is Anatma, the consciousness, and consciousness is Brahman, the existence. There is no Brahman other than consciousness, there is no happiness other than consciousness. Okay, therefore, Anandaha Atma, this is how you arrive at what? Brahman is. Brahman, the pure existence, is nothing but Atma, the Anandaha, the happiness. And the happiness is nothing but consciousness. This is how you arrive at what Brahman is. Isn't it? How to know Brahman? How to know Brahman? How to arrive at Brahman? That question becomes answered when you analyze, when you use this Panchakosha Prakriya. Now you have to remember this very well. Srishti Prakriya is used to arrive at what Brahman is. Panchakosha Prakriya is used, what now? To know what? How to know Brahman. How to arrive at what that Brahman is. Is it clear? And thereafter, now we can relax a little bit. Now Upanishad introduces newly. The doubt will come. What is that Brahman? That Brahman, the pure existence, which is of the nature of happiness, which is happiness, and which is fullness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is pure consciousness, that Brahman is not available for objectification. Never available for objectification. It is not an object of knowledge. It is available for recognition in one's own mind as the very subject of knowledge. That Brahman is free from attributes. It's of the nature of attributelessness. Nirgunatvam Brahmanaha asti nirgunatvat. Because it is of the nature of attributelessness, it is what now? It is not an object to be seen, it's not an object to be heard, or not an object to be smelt or tasted, therefore it has no attributes. It is imperceptible through senses. It is not even conceivable through the mind, the thought also. It is inconceivable, imperceptible. Anything imperceptible, inconceivable, attributeless, when you say, immediately a human mind will think, if it is inconceivable, if it is attributeless, if it is imperceptible, then such a thing it must be non-existent. What will be your conclusion? Immediately will jump and say, it is not, such a thing cannot exist at all. It is non-existent. Why do we come to the conclusion it is non-existent? Because there are many people who do say there is no Brahman, there is no such thing called Brahman at all. There is no such thing called reality at all. People do say, that is why Shunyavadinaha are there. Why they say non-existent? Because most abstract, ati sukshmatamatvat, because due to its subtlest nature, how subtle it is not available for even thought perception, inconceivable, and it is not perceptible, and it is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, no word can describe how use some words and try to explain, describe it. When you try to explain something to somebody, somehow you try to use all your buddhi shakti, crush your intellect, and somehow get some words and try to explain. We are so capable of explaining things. And we can describe things. Somehow we'll try our best to make other person understand using all possible knowledge of vocabulary. And then now we will use, and then somehow we'll try to make somebody understand. But Brahman cannot be described at all. Why? Because it is not available. No word can describe Brahman. No word can explain Brahman, because it is of the nature of attributelessness. Anything which has attributes is describable. Therefore, what should be the conclusion? If it is of the nature of attributelessness, if it cannot be described by any word, it cannot be explained, it is inexplicable, indescribable, it is imperceptible and inconceivable, if it is attributeless, then we can easily say Brahman is non-existent. Therefore, Upanishad says, no, don't ever say it is non-existent. It is not available for perception. Yes, it is imperceptible. It is not available for thought perception. Yes, it is inconceivable. It is not available for description, but through words. That's true, because it is free from attributes. But that attributeless, imperceptible, inconceivable, unobjectifiable Brahman is very you, this subject. You are that Brahman, therefore it is not available for objectification. Okay? Therefore, how it's going to explain now, we'll see that. In between it says, asanneva sabhavati asad brahma iti veda chet. Asanneva sahabhavati. Saha, that person. Which person? That person who is of the notion, or who is of the view, or who is of the wrong understanding that there is no Brahman. Asad Brahma iti Veda. Yaha Asad Brahma iti Veda. Brahma Asat. Brahma Asat means what? Brahma Nasti. Nasti Kaha. Okay? There are people who do not believe in Veda. They are different people. Nastikaha. The non-believers of Veda. But there are people who do not believe in the existence of Brahman. Okay? So, we have believers and non-believers of Brahman. So, those who say Brahman is non-existent, there is no Brahman. Brahma Nasti. Brahma Asat. Brahma Asat means what? Brahma Nasti. Brahma Nasti means what? Paramborul Illai. Brahman is not there. Iti Veda Chet. The Chet is an indeclinable word in Sanskrit language, which means if. Better learn this. You have to learn Sanskrit. No other go now. Okay? Chet means what? Chet is an indeclinable word, which means if. Brahma Asat. Brahma Nasti Iti Veda Chet. If a person thinks, if a person has wrong understanding that there is no Brahman, there is no Brahman, Brahman is non-existent. Why he comes to the conclusion Brahman is non-existent? Because Brahman is inconceivable, imperceptible, indescribable. What is this? It has no attribute, so it is not there. If a person thinks, such a person, asanneva sabhavati, he becomes non-existent himself. One who denies the existence of Brahman is what? One who becomes non-existent. That means what? One who denies existence of one's own self. Because Brahman happens to be the very self. It is like a wave saying there is no such thing called water at all. Imagine. If the wave says there is no such thing called water at all, the wave denies its own existence. Similarly, if anybody says there is no Brahman at all, there is no such thing called Brahman reality, then that person denies the existence of his own self. Why? Because one's own self happens to be Brahman. One who denies the existence of Brahman denies one's own existence. Yaha Brahma Asat Iti Veda Saha. Asan Purushaha Bhavati. He becomes non-existent. He denies his own existence. This is the first meaning. Okay? This is second meaning also. What is second meaning? Asat Purushaha means a non-existent person. One who thinks Brahman is non-existent, becomes non-existent, he denies his own existence. But Asat Purushaha means the Adharmavan Purushaha. One who denies the existence of Brahman becomes Adharmavan Purushaha. Rendavadartham, second meaning. First meaning is a person becomes non-existent. Okay? It is the denying one's own existence. That means the only mad person can say, I am not here. No, I am not here. Can you say, I am not here? That means what? If you say, I am not here, you are mad. Okay, that means you don't think correctly. You don't see things correctly. The one who says, Brahman is not there, he is as good as mad person. Why? Because he denies his own existence. That is the meaning of the word, first meaning of the word, Asat Purushaha. And the second meaning of the word Asat Purushaha is very interesting meaning. Listen to me carefully. Asat means here, Sat Purushaha, Asat Purushaha. Adharmavan Purushaha, Adharmi Purushaha. Non-righteous person. Why Upanishad says this? See, the one who denies the existence of Brahman cannot be clear about his ultimate end being moksha. If Brahman is non-existent for him, and Brahman cannot be his ultimate goal. Is it? Ultimate goal. One must accept Brahman is existent. Only then one can pursue, is it? One can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman. When the Brahman itself is not there for him, then how can that person become committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman? Is it clear now? Therefore, the person, one who does not believe in the existence of Brahman, cannot have the ultimate goal for him. Cannot know the ultimate goal being moksha. Cannot have ultimate goal as his moksha, or cannot have the goal as his knowledge of the truth. He cannot become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge has no meaning for him. Is it clear or not? Hope you're all listening to me. Very interesting, important lesson I'm telling. Don't fall asleep, because I am sleepy. I'm trying to say something, trying to keep my eyes wide. So that you all won't sleep also. So the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge has no meaning, then the person cannot have any Shraddha in Shastram. Then Shastram becomes redundant, useless for such a person. Look at this, what all problems we have. Huh? One should deny the existence of Brahman, there is no Purushartha. One Purushartha is not there, value of knowledge of the truth also is not possible. Then commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth is also impossible. Once the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not there, why? Because the very value of knowledge is not there. Therefore, one will not know, there is no relevance. The Shastra becomes irrelevant for such a person. Why? Shastram has a meaning. Shastram is useful only if it is accepted as a pramanam, means of knowledge of the truth. When you deny the existence of the very truth, and where's the question of accepting Shastram as a pramanam? Shastram becomes redundant. Once Shastram is useless, Shastram has no relevance, then naturally Dharma Shastra, where is the question of accepting Dharma Shastram? Dharma Shastram also has no meaning. Because there is no Purushartha, because there is importance of Antakarna Shuddhi also is not there for the person. Antakarna Shuddhi, I should become mentally pure and steady. That mental purity, the necessity for having mental purity and steadiness also is not there. Why you don't need mental purity and steadiness? What is mental purity and steadiness for? Mental purity and steadiness are required for jnanam, and you are not interested in jnanam. Therefore, mental purity also is not required, has no relevance. Mental purity, mental steadiness become irrelevant and redundant. And not only that, here even dharma, living a life of dharma has no meaning. Commitment to live a life, once the antakarna shuddhihi and aishchalyam are not, become redundant, have no meaning for the person, then where is the question of living a life of dharma? One will not know the value of dharma. Once a person does not know the value of dharma, and he need not live a life of dharma. Commitment to live a life of dharma also is not possible. Yes. Then commitment to live a life of dharma also is not possible. Then naturally that person asat purushaha. Then what happens? Artha artha kamas will become the ultimate goals. If artha kamas become the ultimate goal, then for him, na dharma moksha pradhana jivanam tasya na bhavati. Artha kama pradhana jivanam bhavati. For him, artha kamas will become the ultimate goals. Artha kama, which should be subservient for this person, become the ultimate goals. Then naturally, and he will be the one who will be interested in entertaining his sense organs, interested in maintaining the health and well-being of the sense organs, that they can enjoy indulgent sensory pleasures forever. All the efforts are to maintain the well-being of the sense organs and the body, so that one can have more and more and more enjoyment of sensory pleasures. And such a person, asat purushaha, becomes asuraha. You know who is asuraha? Asuraha means, don't think of some big person, okay, with it. Asuraha means asushu ramate iti asuraha. One who revels in the enjoyment of sensory pleasures is called asuraha. I mean, one for whom enjoyment of sensory pleasures is the ultimate end, he is called asuraha, one meaning. Asun rati iti asuraha. Asun rati iti asuraha means asuhu, one who maintains and safeguards, looks after the sense organs. One who maintains the sense organs. Why? The more and more he can maintain the sense organs, the more he can enjoy sensory pleasures also. Therefore, asun rati means rakshati. Asun rati iti asuraha. Asushu ramate iti asuraha. Both means are there. Therefore, one becomes an asuraha. When does a person become asuraha? When the artha kamas become the ultimate goal, one helplessly becomes asuraha. Why artha kamas become the... That Shastram does not say you should not pursue artha kama. Artha kamas must be pursued to live this life, but this life must be lived for accomplishing moksha in the form of knowledge. Therefore, artha kama must be pursued in conformity with dharma, so that you will be qualified for jnanam, which is mokshaha. If this is not very clear, the whole thing will become, what now? Will become really redundant. Everything will be meaningless. Now you can understand why, that is why in the Indian culture, if we see, moksha is the pradhanam. Moksha pradhana jivanam. Jnana pradhana jivanam. Dharma pradhana jivanam. Life, what is important for us in life? Dharma, jnanam, moksha. Moksha is the ultimate end, and jnanam is moksha. There's no moksha. Freedom is not anywhere other than jnanam. There's no freedom. Freedom is in jnanam only. Ajnanam is ignorance. Ignorance is the bondage, and jnanam is the moksha. Therefore, jnanam is the ultimate end. Then for that jnanam, one must live a highly sensitive life. That means one must live a life completely governed by dharma. Dharma pradhanam must be one's life. Dharma governed must be one's life. Otherwise, what will happen? That is why the family is important. The wife is important. Husband is important. Children are important, and everything becomes important only if moksha is the ultimate goal. Jnanam is the ultimate goal. If artha kamas are the ultimate goal, one don't need wife, don't need husband, don't need family, don't need anything if artha kamas are the ultimate goal. So this is the first meaning, you know. Second meaning, this is asat purushaha bhavati. If a person denies the existence of Brahman, and then how he becomes asat purushaha? He becomes an adharmavan. He becomes a non-righteous person. Means, For him, arthakamas become naturally arthakam. Once a moksha is not the end, then jnanam is not, jnanam cannot be the end. If Brahman is not there for you, if Brahman is non-existent, then there's no knowledge, cannot be the ultimate end. If knowledge of the truth is not the end, then naturally then arthakamas will become the end. If arthakamas will become the ultimate ends, then arthakama enjoyment of pleasures will be all the time, that is your priority means, and you will do all your efforts will be for enjoyment of pleasures only. That is what a person is called asuraha. Okay, that's it. One person is called asuraha. Then for him, it is very difficult for such a person even to be conscious of dharma also. For enjoyment, for the sake of the goal, he will compromise with anything. It is difficult for the person to know the value of dharma and to live a life of dharma if he does not know the... enjoyment of pleasures become the ultimate, then one will compromise with anything. He will compromise with dharma also. And compromising with dharma makes him nasuraha. He is called asat purushaha. Okay, even if you have purushartha nischayaha, even if you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman, and even if you know the value of dharma, even if you know how important it is to have mental purity and headiness, to have the knowledge of the truth, and even to have that mental purity and headiness, you have no choice, you have to live a life of dharma. You knowing the value of dharma, making all possible efforts to live a life of dharma, with all prayerfulness and with all worshipfulness, even then it is difficult to live a life of dharma. And now once your purushartha nischaya is not there, isn't it? One Brahman is not the end, and where's the question of living a life of dharma? That is why for us everything is required only for this jnanam. Why proper girl? Why proper man? Boy? Why marriage? Why family? Why children? Why support? Everything is based on this goal only. If moksha is not the end, just for the sake of artha and kama, you don't need marriage, you don't need wife, you don't need husband, you don't need family, you can live the way you want to live. Everything has a meaning, everything becomes meaningful, everything becomes relevant, only if the Brahman, existence of Brahman is accepted, and then once your commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge, then everything has meaning. Otherwise there is no meaning. That is why you can see how the artha kamas become the ultimate goals, then materialistic people are called materialistic. The moksha becomes the end, then people are called spiritual. The spiritual people do pursue artha kamas. They do not deny the pursuit of artha kamas, but materialistic people are not spiritual. Okay, this is the thing. Next, we'll see that. Asti brahmeti ched veda.
Asti brahmeti ched veda.
Now, suppose a person says, Asti Brahma. If a person thinks, yes, Brahman is, then santamenam tato viduriti. So, the one who accepts the existence of Brahman alone can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman. Then there is a meaning. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of Brahman is possible, is meaningful, only if a person first accepts the Brahman is existent. Therefore, Brahma asti iti veda chet. If a person thinks Brahman is there, Brahman is existent, then that person is the one who really exists. It's a literal meaning. Otherwise, santam enam viduhu. And people know him, people consider him, he is a suraha. He is a Daivi Sampatvan Purushaha. Daivi Sampatvan Purushaha. He is Sat Purushaha. He is a spiritual person and he is a religious, spiritual person, religious person, and he is ethical person, and he is the one who is Sat Purushaha. Sat Purushaha means the one who is spiritual. Whoever is spiritual is definitely religious and he is also ethical. And he is committed to, for him everything is meaningful. Moksha is meaningful. Jnanam, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible for him. Once if he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth and he also knows the value of Antakarna Shuddhi and Naischalyam, mental purity and steadiness, thereby he also knows the value of living a life of dharma. Such a person can commit himself to live a life of dharma also. So here, santam enam tataha viduhu. Santam enam tataha viduhu. Because this person who accepts existence of Brahman alone is satpurushaha. Santaha means what now? Santam enam means, santam is the objective of sun. Sat purushaha becomes what now? Sun. Okay? And sun, santam. Santam means what? Objective of sun is santam. Avanai sat purusharaha kardhugrarhal. Santam enam viduhu. Santaha means in English saint. He is a saintly person. A spiritual person is a saintly person. Who is a saintly person? See, if a person is committed to live a life of dharma and he is a saintly person. Without commitment to live a life of dharma, there is no saintliness about a person. So, it's all one goes with the other. So, how important it is for one to first of all believe in the existence of Brahman. Isn't it? So in between. Anyway. Therefore, tasesha eva sharira atma. See the previous sentence. Asti Brahma iti ched veda. If you take it, change it. Brahma asti iti veda ched. If a person knows Brahman is, then him tataha yenam santam viduhu. People consider him as a saintly person, a satpurusha, as a righteous person, a spiritual person, suraha. Tasesha eva sharira atma yah purvasya tasya yeshaha eva sharira atma. Yeshaha means this anandaha, the happiness, the fullness is the atma. For that anandamaya kosha. Okay, yaha purvasya. Yeshaha eva sharira atma. Tasya anandamayasya. For that anandamaya kosha. Anandamayasya. What is the atma? What is the content of the anandamaya kosha? Anandaha. And what is anandaha? Atma. Therefore, that atma is Brahman. What is Brahman here? A Brahman, don't say Brahman is non-existent. Brahman is very much there. That Brahman is the atma, the content of even the anandamaya kosha. Ultimate content of anandamaya kosha is what? Anandaha. What is that anandaha? Atma. What is that atma? That atma is none other than nothing but Brahman. Okay? Nothing but Brahman. Then, in this context, So Purvasya Asya. Purvasya means the last that was discussed was Anandamaya Koshaha. And Anandamaya Koshasya Atma, the content of the Anandamaya Kosha is the ultimate content. There is no more container, there is no more content. Ultimate content, what you arrive at is the Atma. That Atma is what? Anandaha. That Anandaha, the Atma, is nothing but Brahman. Therefore, you are Brahman. Therefore, you don't say Brahman is non-existent. Having said this much, now Upanishad has to enter into the next question. Answer the next question. What is the next question now? What is paraprāptihi? What is mokshaha? Isn't it? Upanishad has elaborately answered two questions. What is Brahman? It has answered. The question what is Brahman has been answered. How to know Brahman also has been answered. Now what is muktihi? What is mokshaha? What is param? What it means by saying paraprāptihi? Attainment of moksha? That is the third question that is to be answered here. Isn't it? Therefore, and before entering into the question, before entering into answer that question, what is mokshaha? Here, there are some doubts. The student wants to, student presents his doubts. He has some questions. And the teacher can never proceed with his teaching or her teaching if he sees the student having some doubts and queries. Because the disturbed mind cannot concentrate. When the mind, the student's mind is disturbed now. Some disturbance is there on the part of the student and is highly disturbed and highly attention is diverted. So this person cannot focus now and continue to focus on the teaching. Therefore, the student, now what happened now? The teacher has to stop and answer the questions. Go for tea and come back. Very interesting questions come, okay? Very interesting questions. Come soon.
Two or three things. See, when you said if the person doesn't know Brahman, then all that people have is
the person. Doesn't know, does not believe in the existence of Brahman. I was thinking, Bernard Shaw. No. See, generally, the Purusharta, ethical people do not have Purusharta. Those who believe in the existence of Brahman have also Purusharta Nischaya.
No,
because then the moksha pursuit is not there. Then somehow it is very difficult for very, very, very few people will be ethical. Most people won't be ethical. So even if they are ethical, the artha kama become the ends and there's no way of being ethical. See, artha kamas are the ultimate because you have to prove yourself to be the somebody because inner pressure is there. And you have to be number one. See, all of us are aiming for becoming number one. And the more I enjoy, the more I have, the more I have, the more I enjoy, the more famous I am, the greater I am, bigger I am. I see myself through how much I have, what I enjoy. Then I always try my best to enjoy the better, the better. The better means, and there's a limitation for you. And sometimes you have to compromise with dharma. Generally there are people who are ethical also without being committed to anything also. Very few. But here even then Purusharta must be very clear. See, Purusharta Nischaya is not there, then it is, there's nothing, as everything becomes meaningless. meaningless. That is why it is emphasizing. A general rule that is. That's a specific.
So far when we've been doing this Panchakosha Prakriya, we've been resolving each kosha into the universe and then discovering it's a kosha. Yeah. So we've been doing it from the individual to the universal.
Mm.
That resolution.
Yeah.
That analysis. But you never really took us through the analysis where each, say the anamaya is resolved into pranamaya, pranamaya into...
No, resolved means it's understood. No, no, we don't need to do elaborately. See, simultaneously, it is simultaneous. When you resolve the vyashti in samashti, no, thereafter, when you go on to the next, isn't it? From annamaya, you resolve the annamaya, in samashti annam. Then when you resolve it, naturally you go on to what now? Pranamaya. When you go to pranamaya, you already resolved the samashti annam in annamaya in pranamaya. Simultaneously, both. You resolve the individual annamaya in samashti annam. Also, you resolve the annamaya in annam, because then it's prana, because prana becomes atma. You resolve the container. No. No. It's all purely cognitive. It's a physical resolution, isn't it? Everything is cognitive. That's why. Right.